The following is a message from Pastor Ellis Orozco of First Baptist Richardson. For more information, please visit fbcr.org.
Awesome. Yeah, I have the app. I hope you get it too. It's really great. Hey, it's good to see everybody this morning. It's good to see everybody. I'm so glad that I get to be in here with you today. I'm Pastor Ellis. I'm the senior pastor here, which basically just means I'm like older than all the other pastors. That's all it really means. But I'm just so glad that I'm able to preach with you this morning and just worship with you and share with you from God's Word. So we're going to be looking at Genesis this morning. Genesis chapter 18, it's in the Old Testament, the very first book of the Bible. Genesis chapter 18, and I'm going to read in just a minute verses 1 to 8. And we're talking this morning about hospitality. Now, we've been talking about passionately pursuing Jesus, and that's what it's all about for us. I love the passage that Ashley read, and her heart for God's Word just came out so much that it is Jesus. It is all about Jesus for us, and we just want to connect you to Jesus. That's our heart cry every Sunday, is that you would experience Jesus. But as you begin to experience Jesus in your life every day, then he begins to form certain things in you, certain character traits, certain things about you that he begins to form and fashion in you. And so we're kind of going through those, and this is one of them, this idea of hospitality. So let's just read the story, then I'm going to talk a little bit about it. So Genesis chapter 18, beginning with verse 1, this is what the Word of God says. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, "If I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat so you can be refreshed and then go on your way, now that you have come to your servant." "Very well," they answered, "do as you say." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah, his wife. "Quick," he said, "get 3 seahs of the finest flour and knead it and bake some bread." Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice, tender calf and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set these before them. While they ate, he stood near them under a tree. So that's God's word for us this morning. So we're talking about hospitality, and you've just seen a scene, a kind of typical scene of Old Testament idea of hospitality. And so I wanted to talk about that. The problem is, I think we need to kind of start with a baseline understanding of what we talk about, what the Bible talks about when it talks about hospitality. So what's the first thing that like comes to your mind when I say the word like hospitality? For me, it's this experience I had. One time I was asked to speak somewhere, and I don't know why, but for whatever reason, this doesn't ever happen, but this is the only time it's ever happened, like in 30 years of speaking other places. They actually put me up in a 5-star hotel. Okay, I'm like, have you ever experienced? I guess the only time. We're like Motel 6 people, okay? They put me up in a 5-star hotel. Fresh cut flowers everywhere, marble. Everyone behind the desk that checked us in like spoke 3 or 5 languages, okay? Just these amazing people, this amazing experience. And so when I think of hospitality, that's one of the first things that comes to my mind, is my experience from the time I got out of my car, which, by the way, I was really embarrassed to drive up in. From the time I got in my car to the time I left, it was just this phenomenal experience. But that's not what the Bible is talking about when it talks about hospitality. I had this other experience where when I was in seminary, we went to Mexico to do a mission trip at Torreon, Mexico. It's about, a couple hundred miles west of Monterrey. And so we were there doing revivals, these crusades, these preaching. I was one of the preachers. I preached in Spanish. It was horrible, but I did it. And another guy came along and did the music. And so they were hosting us, the church was hosting us, and they put us up in this house of this family from the church, and we were in their house. It was a little house. They weren't, I wouldn't call them poor, but it was just a tiny little house, like literally 4 rooms, kind of a living area with a kitchen all in one room, and then they had 3 little bedrooms, right? Little tiny bedrooms. They had 3 kids, and so the mom and dad slept in one bedroom, one kid in another, and 2 in the other. And what they had done to host us is that the entire family was sleeping in one little room to give me and the other guy our own rooms, right? so that we would have our own rooms. We told them, no, you don't have to do that. We'll sleep. No. They insisted, right, that we got our own rooms, and the entire family, all five of them, slept in one little room for the whole week while we were there. That's getting a little closer to what the Bible talks about when it talks about hospitality. Let me give you one more example. How many of you have seen the movie Lone Survivor? It's based on, a few of you. It's based on a book on the real life experiences of Mark Luttrell, Navy SEAL. They were sent into Afghanistan fighting the Taliban at this time, and they're sent in to do this reconnaissance thing to locate this one a really bad guy. And they get surrounded, they get cut off. Basically, they're surrounded by the enemy. They're trying to retreat. They're fighting them off. The story is that three of the four guys died. Mark Luttrell is the only one who survives. They're fighting valiantly, and he escapes. He manages to escape and finds a body of water. And an old tribesman, Afghanistan tribesman, named Mohammed Gulab, from the Pushtun tribe of Afghanistan, he finds him there at the water's edge, and he takes him to his village. And he and the villagers, these Afghani villagers, they take care of him, and they hide him from the Taliban. The Taliban discovers that they're there, and they come attack the village, and this entire village fights off the Taliban for this one American soldier. One of the tribesmen walks like 100 miles to go through the most dangerous country in the world to go tell the Americans that their soldier's there, and they come in and they rescue them. But this entire village, some of them are dying protecting the stranger, the one who has stumbled into their midst, the one who is helpless, the one who is wounded, the one who can't fend for himself. The entire tribe fights to save his life. And when they went back and interviewed them and asked them why they did that, they said it's because of Pushtunwali, their code, their village code, which says that when the stranger comes into your midst, that you fight to take care of him. You die for him if you have to, you understand? That's the Old Testament understanding of hospitality. Now, the story we read about Abraham here and the three strangers, they're called messengers. They're called angels. It's part of a larger narrative. It's part of a bigger story that the writer is trying to tell here. And in this big story that he's telling, the meta-narrative of this part of Genesis, the big story he's trying to tell is he's trying to make a comparison between the faith and religion of Abraham, right? The father of faith, the father of Judaism, and also the father of Christianity, right? He is developing this faith in God. It's monotheistic, one God only, and he's surrounded by these polytheistic cultures that worship all kinds of gods. And the writer of Genesis is trying to make a comparison between the two cultures. This is the big story he's telling. And the defining characteristic that he decides to use that delineates Abraham's faith and religion from all the other faith and religions around him, the number one characteristic he decides to use to make that comparison is this idea of hospitality, right? But not the kind of hospitality I experienced in the five-star hotel. I don't think anyone in that five-star hotel was going to die for me, okay? I just don't think they were. Frankly, I don't blame them, right? But it's the lone survivor type of hospitality we're talking about. And he says this was the difference between the two cultures. And so he tells the story of Abraham and what happens. And it's this ancient idea that the way we treat the stranger, the way we treat the one who is vulnerable, the way that we treat the one who can't fight for themselves, the way we treat the one who is in pain is absolutely a reflection of our relationship with God. This is why it becomes so important. This is the theological foundation for it, that the way we treat that person is intrinsically, inextricably, intimately tied to our relationship with God, okay? It's about going into deep, deep, committed friendship. And so I want us to take a quick look at Abraham and say, what is it he did? What is kind of this foundation for what we're talking about here? The kind of community we want to become when we talk about hospitality in our community, we want to talk about how do we lay down our lives for each other and even for the one who stumbles into our midst, who is hurting, okay? Here it is. First of all, I want you to see that, and this is the foundation for all of it, is that Abraham recognized the strangers that were coming in, those three messengers, angels. He recognized them as being sent to him by the Lord. He bows down to them. He calls them my lords. He's not saying literally calling them God. It's a term that also means just like sir, this respect. He pays them the ultimate respect because he sees them as being sent to him by the Lord. Now, what does this change for you if you begin to look at every person, every man, every woman, every child that God puts into your path, every person who comes into your circle of influence, you see them as being sent from the Lord? How is that going to change your perspective? How is that going to change the way you walk through life? How is that going to change the way you treat people if every single person, no matter how briefly they come into your life, but when they come into your life, you see them as potentially being sent to you by the Lord? You're going to move, I think, from I have to do this to I get to do this. Did you see Abraham? They didn't ask for anything. They come and he just sees them by the tree. And it's in the heat of the day. It's hot, right? And this is the Middle East. When I say it's hot, I mean it's really hot. And he runs to them and he says, look, don't pass me by without me getting to do something for you. I want to do something for you. He goes out, he gets water, he gets the best calf, the choicest, right, tenderloin. He prepares it. He gives them the best of his best. They didn't even ask for it. It's not a, I have to do this. It's like they came and said, hey, you got any water? I have to go. No, it's like, I want to do this. I get to do this. This is what happens when you begin to see every person who comes into your life. I want you, this week, I want this to really bug you this week, okay? I want this to plague you. I want this to happen when you see someone come in who's like obnoxious or something, you go, oh man, I wish I hadn't heard Pastor Ellis' sermon this week, right? Because now I have to look at this obnoxious person differently as being sent by the Lord. My son Gabe is 26 years old, married, and has 3 children. And they were living in this little tiny apartment when they first got married. And they were 3 kids, 3 daughters, and this little apartment. He has a job, and he's really trying really hard, right? But it's, you know, the beginning of life, right? He's barely making enough just to make it. I mean, they're not living paycheck to paycheck. They're living paycheck to almost paycheck, right? I mean, have you ever lived there? I have. Paycheck to almost paycheck, right? And so, little efficiency apartment in Garland, and then I find out that one of his buddies and his girlfriend and their brand new baby is sleeping on his couch in their living room. So now it's him, his wife, his 3 daughters, and now the buddy and his wife and their daughter all living in this little efficiency 2-bedroom apartment. And I say to him, Gabe, you can't keep doing this. You can't afford, you can barely afford your own family, and now you're bringing this guy in, you just can't keep doing this. And your friends are dragging you down. And he said to me, Dad, I'm just doing what you taught me to do. This is what you preached, right? They're living in their car. With a brand new baby, they're living in their car. What am I supposed to do? And I said, it was one of those moments, you know, as a father, you get to do this every once in a while. You say, son, I'm sorry. You're right. I'm wrong. You're right. As they say, no, you're the righteous one. I'm the unrighteous one. Right? You're right. It's not I have to do it. It's I get to do it. Because you see, at the bottom line, under all this too, that's kind of stuck in there as well with this deep theology about hospitality, is that when you are doing it for that person, that you are actually blessing the Lord. When you see every person who comes into your life as coming to you from the Lord, and you bless them, the Bible teaches us you're not just blessing them, you are blessing the Lord. That's the other thing that Abraham saw, that in doing this, he wasn't just blessing them. Yeah, it's a blessing for you to get to help people, and it's a blessing for them when you get to help them. But above all of that, it is actually a blessing to the Lord. He saw this as a chance to bless them. When you do good for others, you're doing something that blesses the Lord. This, by the way, is an idea that translates into the New Testament, where Jesus says this. He says that someday he's going to say to us, thank you for feeding me and for clothing me. I was hungry and you fed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was in prison and you visited me. And the people are going to say, when were you naked that we clothed you, hungry that we fed you, prison that we visited you? I don't remember doing that. And Jesus said, when you did it for the least of these, when you did it for them, you were actually literally doing it for me, Jesus says. See, this is the underlying thing about this ancient idea of real deep down connection, friendship, hospitality, is that when you do it for others, you're blessing the Lord. So we do Love Local once a month at our church, where we just get together on a Saturday once a month and we go just do something. We feed the hungry, we clothe, we help, we do whatever, we work shoulder to shoulder with others who are doing this in our community, and we go do. I hope you can be a part of that one Saturday. You will be blessed, but more than that, you'll be blessing the Lord, because we see it as we're blessing the Lord. So we have a community garden, in case you didn't know. Any gardeners in here, by the way? I don't know if we're growing anything right now. Are we growing anything right now? We are. We're growing things. Okay. I have a total brown thumb. You don't want me to go anywhere near that garden, but we have a community garden that is developing produce to give to people so they have fresh produce, because when we do that, we are blessing the Lord, right? We're blessing the Lord. We have a partnership with Northridge Elementary School, with North Junior High, where we go into this elementary school that's a Title I school, and we get to do mentoring at lunch buddies, and we get to do after-school programs. We do that at North as well. Why? Because in doing that, we are not just blessing those kids. We're not just blessing their parents. We're doing that for sure. We're not just feeling blessed ourselves. We are. But more than all of that, we see it as we are blessing the Lord. We live for Jesus. For me to live is Jesus, and to die is gain. And so we're doing it to bless the Lord. Here's the thing. It's not about cramming Jesus down people's throats. It's not about telling them and talking to them about Jesus. We can do some of that. But it's really about being Jesus. Being Jesus. Let's try doing that first. Let's just be Jesus to people. Go down into their struggles, into their heartaches. Get down where they are, wherever they are. And if they're wallowing in pain and misery and hurt, that we get down in there with them. And we put on their eyeglasses so we see life the way they see life. We get down into their shoes so we walk where they've walked. And so we get to be Jesus. Friend of ours who's a really great guy, his name is Tyler, and he talks a little bit about what us being Jesus has meant to him. So I want you to listen very quickly, just 3 minutes, to his testimony.
I hadn't gone to church in years. I stopped going after high school. I have a lot of trouble with faith in general. I don't know, maybe it's just my upbringing. I mean, I grew up going to church, but I was also a very logic-based sort of person. My fascination is history, and I see, you know, all the different religions that have come and gone. And so it's very difficult for me to look at one religion and go, well, this one is the absolute truth. Especially after high school, when I wasn't, you know, sort of forced into going to church, I stopped going for a long time. Belief in Jesus is difficult, and it's still ongoing for me. I'm still exploring that. One thing I can say I absolutely believe in is community and the people around you, and needing that and wanting to encourage that. And that's why I've started going to church again. Why it started, because I wanted to see the band. I kept going because I felt that First Baptist had a really good community here, and that obviously no church is perfect, but Worship East really does a good job of emphasizing that community, of emphasizing the bonds there. And while I'm still exploring my faith and I'm still trying to figure out what exactly I believe, I'm going to keep going, because it's not something I'm just going to put to the side and say, well, you know, it doesn't really matter. And so there is still that struggle where my heart really wants to believe, but my mind kicks in and goes, but it's not logical. It doesn't make sense. And I'm not going to say that I've found the answer to that yet, because I haven't. I'm still figuring that out as I go And I'm going to be spending, you know, a lot more time coming here figuring that out. And even if I don't figure it out right away, that's okay. And that's the cool part about this place, is that it's okay that I'm not certain right now. I would ask of God, perhaps it's a little bit selfish to ask for proof. I mean, we're taught that we're not supposed to need proof. We're supposed to be able to believe it regardless of proof. But if any prayer could be answered, I guess I would want maybe not irrefutable proof of, you know, Jesus walking up to me and saying, "Hey, I'm Jesus, how's it going?" But something that would help me feel and realize that, yes, God is there, Jesus is there, and that while not everything's going to be perfect, they are, in fact, watching over me and caring for me.
What it means to be Jesus in this place is to give space for Jesus to work. I think a lot of times, you know, we want to cram our ideas, our theology, our doctrine, our whatever down people's throats. And what it really means is we try to manipulate people because we really don't believe in the power of Jesus to do that himself. That Jesus can work if we would just be Jesus to people, right? Because when you do that, it blesses the Lord. That's why we do it. We don't do it, you know, like if Tyler, the question is, if Tyler never figures it out, am I still going to love him? Are we still going to love him? And the answer has to be yes, yes. That my love, your love, is not dependent on them becoming like me. Right? That we go into the struggle with people and we love them right where they are because it blesses the Lord. Jesus smiles down on us when we're doing that. When we leave the manipulations at the door and we just go in as Jesus and let him do the work, Jesus smiles down on us. It blesses the Lord. And I want to really drive home this point of what Jesus feels when you do that. When you're faithful and obedient to him on this, that really you begin to love people because it blesses the Lord. That's the whole reason. When Gabe was my son, my oldest son was like, I have a lot of Gabe stories for some reason. But anyway, when Gabe was like 5 years old, he was in karate. He was really big into karate. And he was just getting started at that point at five or six years old. And I think he was like a little yellow belt or something. He had just gotten that. And we were going to this first tournament, this big tournament, right? And so we're in this big dojo where they're out there doing their thing and showing their stuff. And he's just like 5 or 6 years old. But they had them getting the boards, and they were trying to break the boards, right? And these are like 5-year-olds trying to break a board, right? And I'm standing on the outer edge of the dojo just watching, and all the parents are surrounding it. And Gabe, 5 years old, and kids are trying to hit it, and the master's holding it, and they're trying to hit it, and they usually hit it 3 or 4 times, and finally maybe it breaks. You can see the kind of master kind of going, you know, kind of breaking it for them kind of thing. Finally, right, eventually. They're just learning, right? Well, Gabe gets up there, and Gabe's always been super aggressive, so he gets up there, and he does this thing, and he's like, boom, and he breaks it on the first try. I mean, like, it just broke. It just broke. And he looked like he was more surprised than anybody in the room, right? So like he popped up, and the first thing he did is he looked over at me, right? It's the first thing he did. He broke he looked over at me, and I'm standing there, I'm going, you know? And we had that moment where he broke the board, and it was joyful, but the joy wasn't complete until he made sure that I saw it, right? Dad, did you see that? And I'm like, yes, son, I saw it. And you know what? No one can ever take that moment away from me. I was there, and I saw it. And our eyes locked. This is what it looks like for you and the Lord. When the Lord looks down at you and you like do something, you go, did you see that, God? He's like, yeah, I saw it. You're blessing the Lord, right, in your relationship with him. If you want to kind of go a little bit deeper on this, I really want to drive this home. If you want to go deeper on this with blessing the Lord and really making a difference in people's lives, so when you look back at your life, it will be dotted with people that you have that you have blessed through the Lord. We're doing a class on Sunday nights. Stan and Kay Parks are teaching it, and Stan and Kay Parks are like these amazing missionaries who are doing amazing work all over the world in Indonesia. And they're teaching us, they're doing this class. It's going a number of weeks. It starts tonight, by the way, at 5 o'clock in C-136. If you can't make it tonight, that's okay. Next Sunday night or the next. You don't have to go to all of them. Just show up. And they're teaching us how to do this out there, just to talk to people, to just be Jesus to people. And it's very practical, and I hope that you can make it if you want to go deeper in this idea of having this impact on people's lives. We had a party yesterday for my father-in-law, Priscilla's dad, who turned 80. And so we did a big party for him, invited all of his friends, all the family, and this big pachanga, right, they say in my culture. And we had a piñata, and it was a Mexican theme. You know, if we were Mexicans, so if somebody come in and seen everything we were doing, it was like, this is so racist, right? So stereotypical. But hey, we're Mexicans. We can talk about it. So anyway, so we can do that. We had the mustaches and the sombreros, and it was like so stereotypical, right? Anyway, the mariachi, right, all that stuff. But he loves that stuff. This is what he loves. So we did it for him. And we did videos of all the people who know him. They sent in their videos just saying happy birthday to him at 80. He was a pastor and a church starter his whole adult life. He was a pastor of little bitty Spanish-speaking churches, starting them here, and he would start a church, and then he would go and start another one. He would go start another one. This is what he did. And so all these videos came back of all these people saying to him, thank you. Thank you for sharing Jesus with me. You made a difference in our lives. Thank you. Thank you, Hermano Marcos, for bringing Jesus to my family. Thank you, thank you. One after another, thanking him for all those years of sharing Jesus. Don't you want, at the end of your life, to be able to look back and say, all these people who could say thank you because you made some impact on their lives? We want to help you to do that. Because here's the other thing, and the final really thing I want to say is that Abraham really sacrificed for these strangers. He sacrificed something for them. There is a difference between friendliness and friendship, isn't there? Friendliness is good, being friendly, right? You're friendly. Friendly says, hey, how's it going? Yeah, doing okay, sure. When I say, hey, how's it going? But I don't really want you to stop and tell me how it's going, right? I don't have time. We're just kind of saying, it's another way of saying howdy or hi. And that's friendliness. And friendliness is good. It's good. It's better than not friendly, right? But friendship is different. Friendliness, if we're honest with ourselves, friendliness doesn't really cost us anything. It really doesn't cost you anything. Okay, maybe some of you it costs you to smile. But most of us, it doesn't really cost us anything to smile and say hi. But friendship is deeper. When the Bible talks about this, it's talking about deep friendship. Abraham viewed hospitality as a serious and sacred work. That every person who came into his life was a sacred creation of God. They belong to God. They were sent to him by God, which makes this idea of hospitality a serious and sacred, sacred work. Jesus says this. He says, this is the whole law, everything, all the Old Testament boiled down into one line. He says, do unto others, treat others the way you would want to be treated. Right? We call it the golden rule, right? It's the golden rule. And so what we're talking about with going deep with people, with loving them this way, with hospitality, we're talking about living out that golden rule, living it out and being the incarnate Jesus to other people, right? This is what we're talking about. When we passionately pursue Jesus, Jesus begins to form these things in our lives. And this is one of them, that we become a people of hospitality, not just friendly, but friendship. Loyalty, loving kindness, commitment to each other, right? Where you can be friendly with someone, it doesn't cost you anything. But when you become their friend, you might have to go help them move, okay? Carry sofas and armoires. When you become friends, it costs you something. If you want to go deeper with this, and this is our prayer, is actually we would go deeper from this. We're going to close here in just a moment. I just want you to ask God, I want all of us to ask God to help us with this. Because the truth of the matter is, we live in a world increasingly where we get everything on demand, right? where we can connect like crazy. We have more connection than any other culture, any other people in the history of the world, in human history. There's never been a time like there is today where we can absolutely connect and we can get pretty much anything we want on demand. Amazon is connecting with Uber, and I can order something on Amazon at breakfast and I'll have it by lunch. Okay? We can have anything we want pretty much on demand, except this. Except real friendship, relationship. There is no on-demand button for that. And people are realizing this. People are understanding this. I can get on Facebook. I have 2,500 friends on Facebook. Thank you very much. And Priscilla says, "Who are all these people?" And I say, "I don't know." "So they're your friends." "Oh, I just don't want to say no to anybody. I just like, if you want to friend me, I'll friend you." But are they really my friends? No. We can get Facebook friends on demand. We can get anything on demand except this. Deep, real friendship. Real person-to-person, soul-to-soul connection. That takes time. Anyone who's been married for any length of time knows that takes time. This is what Jesus is asking of you today. And I want us to pray about this. And if you want to go deeper in this church on this idea, if you're looking for friends, you're saying, "Yeah, Alice, I want friendship. I want some friends. I want some Christian friends I can hang with. I want people in my life that can help me, shape me, and mold me, and that I can help them." Then what I want you to do is right after we're finished here, right after we don't finish, don't have any conversations on the way there. Just go straight to the Next Steps room, which is in our lobby. Matt's there. Matt's camped out at the Next Steps room today, okay? He has a computer. He's all camped out. He wants to help you connect. Pastor Matt wants to help you on this particular thing. That if you want connection, whether it's a small group or just a hangout group or people that you just want to connect to, we want to help you do that in this place so that God can take you and mold you and make you and shape you. So we're going to have time just really quick of prayer. I'm going to close with prayer. I'm going to give you a little space to do that. But as soon as we're done here, if you want to connect with that, go talk to Matt. He's in the Next Steps room through the lobby. At the other end of the lobby, you'll see the big letters, Next Steps room. Glass wall. If you just need someone to pray for you today, we want to be that for you. We want to be that community right now. We don't want to wait. We don't want to say next week, tomorrow. Like now, we will be that community with you. Pastor Josiah, myself, I'll be here right after we're done here. We'll be up here at the front. Just come talk to us. We would love to pray with you. Share with you. If you have questions about God, maybe you're like Tyler and you're just struggling and you're not sure, that's cool, that's fine, that's awesome. I'm glad you're struggling. Because you know what? When you struggle with these questions, when you struggle with the hard questions, when you do come to faith in God, it's yours, right? It's not anybody else's, it's yours. And so we love that. We love that. This is a place where you can do that. You have the freedom. We would love to talk with you about that, share with you, and just basically just listen to you is really what we'd love to do. So whatever it is this morning, I'm going to pray. And then we're going to be done, but you act on what God has given you this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you, Father, for just being with us. We thank you for shaping us and creating us and making us into what you always intended us to be. We want to see you, Jesus. We want to be you, Jesus, to other people. So help us, Lord. As we go from this place, I pray that you would bless every person in this room. I pray that you would bless every household represented in this room. I pray your love and your grace, Lord Jesus, your protection, your covering over every marriage in this room. I pray for every person in this room, Lord Jesus, who is hurting right now, who needs to feel you. Father, I pray that you that in the coming days and weeks, that person especially who is hurting right now, that person would feel you like they've never felt you before, just right sticking by them closer than a brother all week long, Lord Jesus. Please, Lord Jesus, do that for them today. And I bless us, Father. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.